Kaya FM Podcast. Saturdays with Jenny
on Kaya 959.
All right, Professor Coupe is in the studio with me, and thank you very much. You've driven all the way from Pretoria, so you know, fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. And I have to speak to you about your horse riding.
Kind of part-time activity once in a while.
So you're not scared of horses? I mean, the moment you get on the back of a horse, you realize how big they are.
Yes, yeah. And also, when they start doing a small gallop, you might fear for your back.
Yes. Have you jumped?
No, I'm not going to spread fake news.
No, he might.
Yeah.
You know, it might. You just got to clench the knees, you know. Yeah.
Pull the reins.
Well, listen, this is, for me, I think what is happening is very exciting. Laura Sprechman, we're going to get her on the line right now so we can talk to her with you at the same time. But for those of you who don't know, Professor Tawana Coupe is the Vice Chancellor and Principal of the University of Pretoria. And when we get Laura on the line, she is the CEO of the Nobel Prize Outreach, which really specializes in the Nobel Prize dialogues, where they get a group of people together, and all of them Nobel laureates, and they all talk. I mean, it is fascinating. I watch it every year. And sometimes I don't understand what they're talking about, frankly, if it's physics, but I try, you know. I mean, do you understand every single thing that you hear?
No, I don't, but I've learned something about the black holes.
Yes, and space and time.
The young guy, Professor Roger at VUP, was part of the first group to make an image of the black holes in 2019. And that group continues to make waves in the physics world.
No, and Nobel Prizes, I mean, you can understand it. I mean, you really can. So first of all, what gave you the idea of inviting 5 Nobel laureates? And was it difficult to do, or did Laura do absolutely everything?
No, it wasn't difficult to do. In 2019, when I visited the Swedish embassy, I live in the diplomatic zone, so embassies around me, so I make a point of making. I was informed that there are these Nobel dialogues and that they'd never been held in Africa. So I said, this is my opportunity. So when I was doing my Scandinavian European tour, I took a flight from Oslo straight to Laura's office. In 45 minutes, Laura and I had agreed the deal.
It
was that easy, yeah. So I flew back to Oslo the same afternoon. So, but it was, well, shocking to me that we haven't held those dialogues. Africa has plenty Nobel Prize winners in its own right. I think 11 in South Africa alone. And also the Professor Wole Soyinka, as you know, is a Nobel Prize winner. Yes. Nadine Godmahie was a Nobel Prize. Wangari Maathari, environment and so on. And Africa now is a continent on the rise with all of its problems. That intellectual debates of this kind that shape major challenges that face the world had not been held on the continent was a bit of an abomination for me, because we are part of the international and global community.
Well, indeed. I mean, I think it's that. Let's get Laura on the line. So, Laura Sprechman, thank you very much indeed for joining us, Laura.
Hello, a pleasure.
Hi, well, it's really, really nice. And so I've got Professor Tawana Coupe sitting right next to me. And so it's nice that you're part of the discussion. It was a no-brainer, really, to do the Nobel outreach, more or less, here in Africa.
Indeed. It is such an honor for us to finally do a Nobel Prize dialogue in Africa. So it's the first time, and we are thrilled, and we are very, very proud to do it together with the University of Pretoria.
How difficult is it to get hold of? I mean, I'm just looking at the laureates that you have managed to, you know, get together. Christopher Pissarides, Joseph Stiglitz, for goodness sake, the world wants him. Abhijit Banerjee, Brian Schmidt, Muhammad Yunus. I mean, all of these are almost, but not quite, household names.
Yes, and what I'm very, very excited about also is that they together combine such an expertise. Not enough that they are Nobel laureates, they also represent different areas, namely economics, peace and physics, And one of them, as you know, is the Vice Chancellor of the Australian National University. And then Mohamed Yunus has, of course, this enormous, it's the man when it comes to entrepreneurship and microfinancing. Abhijit Banerjee when it comes to groundbreaking research in education, and Christopher Pissarides, of course, about the labor market. So together, we have all the brain power we need. Yes, and so this will be. I really look forward to this day.
And Mohamed Yunus with his Peace Prize. I mean, I can remember listening actually to him speaking, and I always watch it on the BBC and record it and go back. And I quite often listen once or twice, because this year you had so many women. Of course, it was absolutely, you know, stunning. But Mohamed Yunus, he really is. I mean, I think what he's done is just absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yes,
absolutely. Yes.
So, Tawana, maybe just speak about how relevant he is to us here in Africa.
Oh, of course. I mean, Mohamed Yunus propagates the things that are very vital to the Global South, if you like, not just Africa, but the rest of the Global South, in relation to creating employment, addressing unemployment, and mobilizing the millions of people in the Global South that often are not made part of the formal economies. And through microfinance on the one hand, because there's also lack of financial inclusion, if you like, even exclusion, if you like. But on the other hand, entrepreneurship, not handouts necessarily from NGOs and so on, but people using their own innovative skills in their own contexts and circumstances to create employment for themselves, and not just to be employees in situations often where unemployment is not generating fast enough to absorb the labor that is there.
And also, of course, the concentration on women, because if you empower women, you empower an entire village.
Yes, and women being even a democratic majority, and we know that, you know, democracy works in interesting ways. Although women are the majority, they are not the holders of power all across the world because of entrenched patriarchy. And as you rightly say, people often say if you educate and empower a woman, you empower a whole village or a whole family and communities. And that is not always true of men. It's often self-interest and selfishness drives the motive.
Well, I mean, you've got three economic sciences laureates. And so I'm interested to know how you are guiding the discussions, because you've got a two-hour podcast, basically, and it's free, so everybody listening can. I mean, I really hope that hundreds of thousands of people check in. I really do.
Yeah, no, the last time we checked, over 3,000 people in 115 countries had registered.
Okay.
As you know, it's free, and I think we're making a major drive for people to join in. Also, what's interesting about these dialogues as well, as Laura will tell you, is that they are recorded, and the Nobel Outreach Media will post them after the time that we actually run them. More people will listen at their will, and podcasts are nice for that reason. The interesting thing about the lineup, the disciplinary lineup, they fits in with the University of Pretoria's positioning as a transdisciplinary university. By that it means we come to a challenge, future of work in this instance, from multiple disciplinary perspectives, and we seek to co-create new forms of knowledge out of that. Because the future of work is not an issue only for economists. It's not only an issue for, if you like, people in the management sciences. It's a fundamentally human, social,
indeed,
it's a fundamentally technological issue as well, because we live in a world disrupted by ever-advancing technologies. So bringing in the creme de la creme of intellectual minds from different disciplines will create the new knowledge to help us shape the future of work, so that in this emerging world of work, there are no losers. No one is left behind. We take everybody behind, because we need to actually, in a sense, harness all of the human potential that we have in the best interest of everyone, and not Africa's development only, but the world's development.
All right. Well, if you've just tuned in, we're chatting to Laura. I'm just going to take a short break. We're chatting to Laura Sprechman, and she's speaking to us from Sweden, and also the Vice Chancellor of the University of Pretoria, Tawana Kupe. Back with you in a moment.
Saturdays with Jenny
on Kaya 959.
Well, let's go to Laura Sprechman. And Laura, I'm sorry I had to cut you short there, but do talk. You know, that's what I want you to do.
Sure. Thank you. I was just just going to pick up on the comment that Professor Cooper made regarding the cross-disciplinarity of the dialogue, and that is really key, because we really want to encourage that dialogue on the big issues that humanity is facing. So when you ask about the program and how much we will cover in these hours, so the main pillars are learning and education, and then of course the future of employment, and then the very important question of social and environmental impact of work. And one obvious approach or one obvious question is the pandemic we're just living through, and what the new normal is for working life, right? And one thing we really are learning from this pandemic, well, we're learning many things, but one is to think about what skills are important for a more resilient and more inclusive future. And these are, many of them are social skills, you know, emotional skills, for example, being able to adapt, empathy, leadership. And we saw during the pandemic that the scientists excelled at developing the vaccines really fast and collaborating with each other internationally. But we could have done a bit better when it comes to governance, when it comes to decision making, when it comes to bringing on board all the countries and being inclusive. So there are many things we really have to keep in mind and not forget moving forward when it comes to work and what skills we really need to develop.
Tamani, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, so because I think to add to this case that Laura said, also social, emotional intelligence and social and critical thinking, and also understanding society. So, for example, I think it was really unfortunate to call physical distancing social distancing.
Yes.
Because human beings are quintessentially social.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes where people are struggling with this phenomenon is that people can't live without the social connections
and touching,
well. And so on. So while what should have been emphasized was physical distancing in order to deal with, you know, the health issues related to the spread of the virus. But to call it social distancing won't really keep up. But in these kinds of dialogues, we then robustly critique these kinds of concepts. And also the future of work is very, as I said, is very, very vital for us as universities. Mm-hmm. It's something that we being people who educate and train, we now have to be very, very sensitive that our curricula keeps up with the times and produces the kinds of graduates that are needed in the unfolding employment situation. And I'm avoiding the word market, because people are not taught in universities just to become employees. They're also taught to be critical thinkers, to value diversity and inclusivity, to be better citizens, to be socially engaged, and to like communitarian practices, in other words, being connected to others, what sometimes we might call Ubuntu in this part of the world. So what the University of Pretoria is going to do as a legacy, part of the legacy of these dialogues being faced in Africa, is we are actually creating a center for the future of work, where we'll do research on the emerging world of work and what skills are needed, but also to do research that informs policymakers, regulators, and practices in the employment space. And this is going to be also transdisciplinary or interdisciplinary, and also we're going to engage all sectors of society, not just ourselves, how we should teach, but also how the new emerging world of work should be structured to the best interest of all human beings.
Well, one of the things I'm particularly interested in, and we're seeing it playing out in India at the moment, and it is rural India as well as overcrowded cities and things. And Laura, I'm directing this to you. And so, are you still there? Yes, you are. And I'm particularly interested in how people living in rural areas, and for me, particularly women living in rural areas, how they can be brought into this world of employment and self-respect, and also being able to support their own families.
Yes, one key issue is what we were discussing just a while ago when it comes to entrepreneurship and microfinancing, you know, really having the opportunity of starting businesses. It can be very small and very local ones, but that gives independence, that gives a sustainable life that gives pride, of course, and I think that will be key. Back to Muhammad Yunus and his groundbreaking work.
So what's also important, I think, is digital connectivity
yes.
for rural communities. And the studies have shown that rural farmers, for example, who can get real market information, are better able to market their produce because they are now connected not just to local, national, but also to global, international markets. So that's going to be important. That one thing we'll be emphasizing in these dialogues is digital connectivity. Access to affordable data for all will bring rural communities, unemployed youths into the mainstream economy, but also running their own micro enterprises that have a global reach, if you like. I think this is a great opportunity to address the digital divide. If we don't, for example, disruptive and ever advancing technology will simply enable inequality and discrimination to persist.
Yes, I mean, I think that there's some fantastic initiatives already in South Africa.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful thing which is totally digital regarding fishermen and bringing them in and getting them to actually start their own businesses instead of just fishing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a very, very exciting project as well. And I know that Bill and Melinda Gates, divorced or not, I mean, they are heavily involved in things like that as well. So I'm just looking, Laura, I'm just looking at Christopher. I'm looking at Joseph Stiglitz, who his name is legendary, isn't it?
He's been here many times.
And indeed, he knows Africa as well.
I once hosted him at the Great Hall VC to his full house, as you remember.
Indeed. No. It really is very exciting. And I think what is exciting about this is the ability to swap ideas and to start ideas from this conversation, because it doesn't end with one person. Yeah. As you say, people are going to be able to access this, even if they don't listen to it live.
Yeah, yes. And also our Legacy Center for this study of the future of work is our thank you also to Nobel Media Outreach, but also saying that this conversation continues because you are talking about an emerging phenomenon here.
Yes. And also, Laura, I would have thought that through this, we're going to pick up so many other interesting people with incredible qualifications who can help to spread the word simply by listening to this and taking their ideas further.
Exactly. And as Tawana just mentioned, we will be having all the content on Nobelprize.org, our website, and also spreading it through the social media channels of the Nobel Prize. And still, it is not too late to register. So I encourage everyone to register for the event on Tuesday. But if you cannot make it there, the content will be available, definitely. And the essence of this is just this dialogue, right? It's not just individuals giving talks. It's also this sharing of ideas. And we will actually have the opportunity also, we will have Q&A sessions with panelists at one point where people will be able to send in questions.
Absolutely fantastic. The key thing then is to register, isn't it?
Yeah. If you want to listen live, please register. But if you can't, you haven't lost out.
So Laura, just give those details again. Nobel Prize. I didn't write it down. If you want to register.
Yes. If you want to register, nobelprize.org.
Okay. Well, that's easy enough. And also you can do it locally if you want to. It makes no difference, does it?
It's a global website.
So you go to universityofpretoria.tv/Nobel. But I mean, there you can shorten that, can't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you can just go to University of Pretoria Nobel and it'll send you there.
Yeah, on the banner headline of the website, you can quickly register there.
So listen, I mean, everybody, this is just for all of us. Mm. It is the first time in Africa. I think it is so exciting and it has so many possibilities for all of us. Mm. And Tawana, I've just got to say to you, I think it is extraordinary that nobody thought of it before you.
Well, yeah, no. Well, I think I heard from Laura, I think from someone, is that there were attempts with some other institution, no need to mention now. But I think the important thing is that now we have done it. We are now part of the global conversation on these issues, engaging with the creme de la creme of intellectual achievement, Nobel Prize winners, of which we have many. At the University of Pretoria, by the way, we have an Albert Luthuli Institute for Leadership, which is named after Albert Luthuli, one of the first Africans to win a Nobel Peace Prize. Mm. So there's a long history there, so it was overdue that we actually do it. We will anchor it from our Future Africa Institute and campus, which is something also dedicated to better futures for the whole of the continent, where we can achieve all of the sustainable development goals of the UN and much more. Social justice, equality, genuine democracy, inclusive economic development that is sustainable. So it's absolutely very exciting, and we get that we could, cover that deficit, ensure Africa is part of the conversation, and shape the policies, shape the practices.
And share the people.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it is. It's for the people. Laura, I'm sorry we don't have any more time, but thank you so much for making yourself available. Really appreciated.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. And Tuana Kupe, who arrived here in a flurry because he drove not by horse, but all the way from Pretoria. And it is asking a lot on a busy Saturday morning. Yeah. But I think this is going to be fantastic. It's on Tuesday, the 18th of May. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. But of course, because it's a podcast, you can listen to it in the evening. Mm. You do not have to listen to it from 10 through until 2 p.m.
Yeah, so I can only say, join the conversation.
Yes.
Be heard.
Yes.
Offer your voice. This is our time. Africa is rising.
There we go. So remember that. Just nobelprize.org or University of Pretoria. Just go there, look for Nobel, and everything will be made simple for you. So congratulations to you in advance of what we're going to see.
Yeah.
But it is a first in Africa, and I am so excited.
No, and thank you for giving us the airtime. Kaya, you heard it first on Kaya FM.
Thank you very much indeed.
Saturdays with Jenny, every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m.
on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
Kaya FM podcast. Go to kayafm.co.za for more.